Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Had a lot of feedback yesterday from the letter that I had read from the medical doctor who had treated a lot of autistic children. A lot of people wanting copies of that. So yeah, I'll have to get that posted on our website. I mean, it's that big of a deal that we do that, because a lot of people need to know what a lot of people that are actually pro-child and not necessarily pro-vaccine believe. And it's really, really important that we all work together to try to figure this out to the best of our abilities as long as we possibly can. You know, what's interesting to me is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of things happen around here that are basically orchestrated. And again, the orchestration of the vaccines, the orchestrations of the glyphosate, all of this is being pushed to the New World Order as far as reduction of the population. But I'm going to change standards, I'll change the show a little bit here today. I want to talk about what Oxford University is saying right now. And this deals with Genesis chapter 6, because I always like tying the Bible into some of this stuff. Genesis chapter 6 said that these fallen angels came to earth. They bred with human women. They produced Nephilim and offspring. And it says this. You can read it yourself. And so they're talking about how an alien species, okay, let's make it in today's vernacular, came to this planet and bred with women in order to produce a different variant of offspring or a hybrid race. The Bible says that's what happened. The book of Enoch really goes into detail on it. But Oxford University academic is now saying that aliens are already breeding with humans on Earth. This isn't some yahoo. This is a guy from Oxford. He says that Yang Bong Chi, director of the Korean Oxford's Oriental Institute, said the primary aim of the aliens was to ensure their own survival. But in doing so, they said they were claiming they could protect the human race, which is, of course, what they always say. He first made the claims in a lecture in 2012 when he cited the abduction center from the U.S. who believes the hybrids are already walking among us. He's since written a book on the subject called Alien Visitations and the End of Humanity. It's so funny. He says they're here to help us, and he puts down Alien Visitations and the End of Humanity. It's like, here's what they're coming to do. In the book, which was written in Korea, he states that they are four types of aliens. Then he lists them all. And he says that they have all kinds of different lower ranks. He goes, humans are unable to experience the comprehensive system in which these aliens or entities exist, because our organs limit our perception, he adds. You know, this is the same stuff that the Bible's been talking about for thousands of years. It's the same stuff that the Bible says has been going on. The interesting thing to me is this, Austin, is that so many Christians believe in angels. But they don't get it that angels aren't human beings. They don't get this. And when you start talking about angels and entities and things that aren't human, they think, well, you're talking some kind of weird stuff now. No, nobody's talking anything weird. You've got to allow your mind to wrap around the fact that we're not alone. That's number one. And that God doesn't need your permission or my permission to produce another species on another planet or in another galaxy far, far away. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's God. Okay, he's the supreme being, the creator of the universe. He can make this energy field that he created, this holographic universe, to be anything he wants it to be, and he doesn't have to ask our permission to do anything. So get your head around that as a Christian. So if you suddenly find out, if our government finally tells us the truth about this, that these things are here and they're doing this, then maybe you won't be shocked from a Christian standpoint. It won't affect your belief. Remember, Linda Moulton-Halstead doing the research, and don't get me wrong, at one time she seemed like she was pretty stable, but she doesn't seem as stable as she used to be now, because she's getting out there a little bit into the weirdy stuff, the really weird stuff. And I'm not saying that I don't like her, because I still listen every once in a while one of her podcasts. But the reality is this. Everything has to be Christ-centered. Everything has to be about Yeshua, Jesus, God. You've got to have a version of the universe that explains Christ. And when you get into these weird extraterrestrial, interdimensional entities that, you know, basically doing really weird things, and you start getting off into this woo-woo stuff, and you take Jesus out of it, it really messes things up. Because at that point in time, you're going to start losing your faith, and you don't want to do that. But remember, you know, she did the big exposés, Linda Moulton-Howell did, back in the 80s, on basically the bleeding of cattle and cattle mutilation. That's how she got into this. And they're actually going into these cattle with some type of craft that leaves no tracks on the grass, draining all of the blood out of the cows, taking their eyeballs, taking their organs, taking their glands, taking their testicles, taking their ovaries. And they're saying this is for additional research as far as for breeding with humans. But you got to ask yourself a question. You know, what's up with the blood of these cows? I mean, why are they draining them of all their blood? Are they using this for food? Are they using us for food? In one of the books that I read a few years ago, and it talked about the alien stuff in detail, it said that one of their ships crashed and it had all kinds of human body parts in it from people that had killed and dismembered. You think, what the heck, really? Yeah. I mean, this is something that we got to think about for a second. Why are they here? What are they doing? What's it doing to us? Is it any good for us? And why won't our government give us disclosure on what these guys are, what these things are, and what they're doing here? Why is there this big secretive thing right now? Other studies have come out now and said that the Germans actually worked with these interdimensional entities in order to develop what they did, as far as their all of their advanced, how should I say this, their advanced technology they had. And so, you know, we've got to realize that all of this stuff is happening all of the time, and that, you know, we have to just be part of what happened with it. And we have to realize that, you know, we have to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it to the best of our abilities, and not let it overwhelm us. Now, I'm not doing a real good job explaining this morning. I'm trying to be careful here with what I say. And so just realize that we're not alone. That's number one. Don't let it affect your faith if you find out you're not alone. The Bible tells you with all these encounters that we're not alone. So don't let it be a surprise to you. Austin, what do you think? What's your next story, bud?
Oh, no doubt about it. This stuff's getting so strange. I mean, we see all this stuff going on right now, and I mean, it's a concerted effort to try to bring us down to this lower level of society, essentially what it was with the Genesis. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because we see this effort to pollute the minds of the children. We see that child sex trafficking is at an all-time high. We see that the morals and ethics and values of this generation are probably the worst that they've ever been before. We also see that the cognitive reasoning skills and deductive reasoning skills of this generation are subpar at best. Talked to you guys yesterday about how McDonald's doesn't even want anybody that's under 30 years old anymore, because they're so unreliable and they don't want to work and they're so lazy and all they want to do is quit all the time. They're going to 50-year-olds up. Also, and then we start seeing what's going on here. And this is an interesting story that I saw out of Cheshire Academy out of Hartford, Connecticut. And this was crazy. Now, a sophomore boy in high school has now been expelled from his school for the crime, essentially, of disagreeing with the transgender agenda and making jokes about it. I kid you not now. According to reports, Michael Mancini, who had previously attended Cheshire Academy, located south of Hartford, was relentlessly scrutinized and tormented on campus simply for expressing his politically incorrect views about gender dysphoria. After being recruited back in July of 2018 to play on the Academy's football team, Mancini was suspended for 5 days and his contract nullified, all because of his politically incorrect views. After incurring the suspension and loss of contract, Mancini was not long after expelled from the Academy altogether, prompting his father to launch a website. Now, one of the infractions that ultimately led to his expulsion were his views he expressed about William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night play, in which a lesbian female, as far as at the school, known as Volia, cross-dresses as a male. Though many Shakespeare plays interchange male and female roles, this has absolutely nothing to do with transgenderism. There's no historical evidence at all that behavior back then, as far as cross-dressing, was something that was socially acceptable in England, especially back in the 1600s at all. Mancini's classmates tried to contend that Viola's character represents a positive portrayal of transgender individuals, to which Mancini expressed disagreement. So, let me just clarify what happened here. In one of Shakespeare's plays, Twelfth Night, there's a female that basically dresses up like a male, essentially, in part of the play, and they did this with a lesbian female in the play intentionally, and it had nothing to do with transgenderism, though, back then in the 1600s. However, multiple of the females that were working on the play, including classmates, were adamant that this is a strong positive portrayal of transgender individuals and tried to portray it as a transgender uprising, so to speak, in the class project, which would have been the Shakespeare play. Well, according to the reports, Mancini was verbally attacked by two of his former female classmates who were merely seeing for he when he said he suggested that Shakespeare couldn't possibly have been writing about transgenderism in the Twelfth Night. So they had this huge, basically, argument, and right in front of the whole school about this whole thing, these two girls just came uncorked on him, started screaming and yelling at him, telling that he was basically a bigot, and he hated LGBT people. And I mean, the whole thing you normally see with Antifa and all the other hardcore rhetoric on the left when they don't get their way, this happened to him. So he got pretty irritated about it, didn't do anything physically, though, ended up leaving. Another incident that led to this, after this went on, though, was in a workshop during which Academy students were encouraged to tell other students a little bit more about themselves, including obvious and not-so-obvious personal details. Mancini apparently got up in front of the class and said, well, something obvious about me is that I identify as a black male. Well, he's not. He's white. And he did this jokingly as a sarcastic stab at transgenderism. It was an obvious joke, and a few of the students laughed, but Mancini's teacher had a conniption fit, told him he was not allowed to talk that way, and took him to the principal for harassment. So when all was said and done, they decided to expel him because they said his behavior did not display what they considered acceptable at their school. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because this is really just an incident that was isolated over there, what we're starting to see now is this is not becoming isolated. This is becoming systemic throughout the entire school's population now, where kids essentially are being told that you have to support and accept this entire transgender ideology, or else you essentially either can't go to school here, or you're a bigot, or you're outcasted and essentially black-labeled in the school. Now, four schools in Northern Virginia are now claiming that thousands of students in the Virginia public school area identify as transgender and should be allowed to use whatever bathroom they choose. The Washington Post reported that Alexandria, Arlington, Falls Church, and Fairfax County school boards filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of Gavin Grimm, a biological girl who has now sued the school board in Gloucester County, Virginia, after being denied access to the boys' restroom. Grimm's case made it to the Supreme Court, but was returned to a lower court after the Obama-era rule on transgender students was overturned by Trump. Now Grimm's case is scheduled for trial in July as the U.S. District Court for Eastern District of Virginia. So what they're trying to say now is they're trying to take this to court and make it federal law that a boy or girl, vice versa, can use the opposite bathroom, and that transgender ideology and transgender actions need to be fully accepted and mandated into federal law now. So this is something, another interesting aspect to see what happens in July if the court hopefully does overturn this. But the reason why I'm bringing all this up is because they're doing this to the younger generation right now as aggressively as physically possible, because they want to change the entire mindset of this younger generation into having no concept of right and wrong and have no concept of reality from just your made-up fantasy fairy tale land that you live in when you're 5 years old. They want to push that into the teenage realm. So again, more people do not understand real truth anymore. They only believe the mainstream lies that are being constantly told to them, essentially from five until the rest of their life when they get into the public school system and so forth. So just something that I thought was pretty interesting today. Also, too, in other news that I wanted to address, Julian Assange now in the British court has now sentenced him to 50 weeks in jail for jumping bail back in 2012. Now, let me clarify what's going on here. Essentially, the Assange was arrested on April 11th, this month, you guys remember that, after the Ecuadorian government withdrew its protection from him, ironically, right after they got $4.2 billion from the IMF. They allowed police to come into the Ecuadorian embassy and take him out of the embassy in London, where he'd been living since 2012. What's happened now is when he went in there in 2012, it was because he essentially had just gotten out of court with Sweden, and he decided he did not want to get extradited. He jumped bail, claimed asylum at the Ecuadorian embassy, and they granted him asylum. Well, now the British government is saying that essentially because he jumped bail in 2012, that he's getting 50 weeks in prison in the UK while the US is now still currently trying to extradite him. The judge rejected his entire defense and delivered the harshest sentence possible yesterday. The judge said, and I quote, "Your continued residence in the embassy." Listen to how tyrannical this judge thinks he is. "Your continued residence in the Ecuadorian embassy has necessitated a concentration of resources and expenditure over £16 million of taxpayers' money, and assuring that when you did leave, you were brought to justice," Judge Taylor told Assange upon his sentencing. He continued to go on and tell him essentially because he did this and he did that, all this money had been spent. Now, the irony of this, Assange's residency at the embassy never cost taxpayer money anything from him being there. Ecuador was fully responsible for that. It was the British government's decision to pour money into patrolling the embassy around the clock for the last 7 years, so police had orders to arrest Assange on site over a petty bail charge, which obviously they're not going to spend £16 million to necessitate a bail charge. It was the British government's decision to persuade the Swedish government not to drop its investigation in 2013 so it could pursue the agenda to arrest Assange for U.S. extradition. The agenda to imprison and extradite a journalist for publishing facts is what cost £16 million, because the only reason the UK government found it reasonable to invest that amount of money in patrolling the Ecuadorian embassy for 7 years is because it had an agenda to help the U.S. war machine punish someone who embarrassed it. And that's the truth. Now, the cost of the U.S. government agenda is being used to justify a year behind bars after 7 years of arbitrary detention in a Ecuadorian embassy. A WikiLeaks tweeted out yesterday, said Julian Assange's sentence for seeking and receiving asylum is twice as much as the sentencing guidelines. The so-called speedboat killer convicted of manslaughter was only sentenced to 6 months for jumping bail. The bail charges in itself are entirely illegitimate, Simon Flop explains, while British law bail is only legally breached if there's a failure to meet bail without reasonable cause, which the human right to seek asylum certifies it is. So the whole aspect of what they're doing now here is essentially to try to extract their pound of flesh out of him everywhere he goes. Now, Sweden's already talking about trying to extradite him first to try to bring him to charges. This whole thing is being used as an example, guys. Listen to me. This whole thing is being used as an example to show the entire world what happens when you go up against the military-industrial complex of the United States government, that nobody can go against the giant sucking squid empire that is the deep state, that is the U.S. government, that is the Rothschild banking cartel. They are making sure they're going to do everything they can to put this man in the ground that he never sees the light of day again. Now, what's crazy about this is all of this is going on right now in the U.K., which pales in comparison of what's going to happen today with the U.S. extradition trial beginning today over there, once the U.S. government is actually able to extradite him over the next course of months or years. Under the U.S.-UK extradition treaty, which is ironic, one cannot be extradited from the United Kingdom if the extradition is for political purposes. Once he's on U.S. soil, far more serious charges may be added that are very political nature indeed. However, it doesn't matter. The U.K., Israel, everybody essentially does whatever they want to do in this case now. We have the United States and the U.K. are pretty much together in almost everything. Now, what's ironic about this is CIA whistleblower John Karachku, he said, "I think he's probably looking at about 50 years in prison once he gets extradited to the United States. I think there are many more charges they're going to add on. I would expect a superseding indictment, possibly to include espionage charges. There's simply no such thing as a fair national security trial in the Eastern District of Virginia," which is going to be where Assange goes if he's extradited. He goes on to say, no national security defendant has ever won a case case in history in the East District of Virginia, he stated. He will not and cannot get a fair trial. It is impossible because the deck is completely stacked against Assange. Everybody knows what's going to happen if he comes back to the Eastern District of Virginia. This is the same advice I gave Edward Snowden. Don't come home because you will never get a fair trial here. Julian doesn't have that choice is what frightens me even more. This is why it's imperative that we all continue to stand for truth, including everybody that's in the UK, everybody that's in Australia, everybody that's actually concerned about the rule of law and free speech, at least the remnants of what we see left, because what they are doing here is trying to take an individual that showed what actually happened with war crimes and a completely unnecessary, in my opinion, unconstitutional invasion of foreign countries in the Middle East based solely on controlling their oil supply and putting in a Federal Reserve Bank. Assange showed the realness of what that was, and he also made a mockery of the Hillary Clinton, the president candidate that was so unbelievably poised and ready to make it her presidency in 2016. He showed the world what a complete and total weirdo she is, and now they're going to do everything they can to completely and totally ruin this man, pretty much till death, Dad.
He tried to change the narrative, Austin.
Yeah.
The narrative of the deep state. See, you, the people of the United States, and you, the people of the world, who are listening in all countries across the world right now, you have to follow a specific script. You have to understand things the way they script it for you. And if you vary from the script, they've got to fix you. In other words, you've got to get back some more. You have to get some mind programming done to you. You've got to basically be told over and over and over again, or with different flicker rates or different wavelengths or whatever, that this is what you're supposed to do, because you're supposed to be a bootlicker. And Julian Assange decided, I don't want to be a bootlicker. I'm going to start telling the truth about both sides. That's the difference here. He nailed both sides of the campaign. He let everybody know what everybody was doing. I mean, he nailed everybody from Obama to Clinton to Trump. Everybody got nailed. And, you know, and then Trump, of course, was bragging on WikiLeaks and how great Julian Assange was. Now he acts like he didn't know who he is, which could be the fact that he's drinking, you know, a dozen, 15, 20 diet sodas a day. I mean, that could actually – I'm going to stop for 1 second, guys. When I say that, a lot of you just send me emails and you go, oh, ho, ho, you're kidding about Donald Trump and the diet sodas. Ho, ho, ho. They don't do that. Okay. I don't know how to make you understand, if you're a new listener, without being completely redundant and covering the last 5 years of shows, what diet sodas do. They cause massive depression and memory loss. The other day I had a friend of mine, a pilot friend of mine, who was basically talking about, you know, certain types of foods and eating certain things, and one of the pilots he knew smoked. And he goes, don't you think smoking is about the worst thing that you could possibly do? Now listen to me for a second. I'm going to go online and say something with you guys right now. And I said, yeah, smoke is bad, but it's not as bad as drinking diet sodas in excess. And they said, what do you mean by that? I said, look, every once in a while, if you metabolize with methanol, if you really want to drink pain thinner, your body can probably handle a little bit every once in a while, but it's unbelievably bad for you. You should never, ever put it into your body. Smoking, on the other hand, my mom lived to be in her 90s, and she smoked all the time. My granddaddy smoked cigars. He was in his 80s. He lived to be 86. Now, I'm not going to tell you that smoking is good for you, because it's not. And they put all types of other chemicals in the tobacco to get you addicted and to make you sicker. But personally, my belief is that diet sodas are worse for you than cigarettes. Now, of course, if you're going to do 20 packs of cigarettes a day and you're going to chain smoke all day, okay, well, that's a little different. But I'm talking about smoking a few cigarettes a day. I think it's worse to drink sodas every day, diet sodas. You think, well, that's kind of a strange statement. I've never heard you make that. I'm letting you guys know that. That's how bad aspartame is. And Donald Trump is addicted to it. The aspartic acid is a dopamine trigger in the brain. The aspartic acid has a dopamine receptor. The aspartic acid has a receptor site in the brain, which triggers a dopamine release. That's why when people get really, really addicted to Diet Coke, diet sodas, diet Pepsi, anything with aspartame in it, they'll fight you to get their drink. I mean, they will actually make a complete and total butt of themselves in order to get their diet sodas. You think, well, gosh, are you that addicted? Now, I'm talking about pastors now and other people too that I've known. Yeah, they really are that addicted. Massive short-term memory problems. So could Donald Trump literally not remember what he said 5 years ago? Donald Trump could literally not remember what he said 10 minutes ago because of what he does, the diet sodas. And it's like Austin said the other day, I'm sure they're always popping the tops on new ones for him. Here's another one, here's another one, here's another one, here's yep. another one. You know, because they're trying to do this to him. I mean, the man and what he's done and what he's become is not what we saw 5 years ago. It's just not, this is not it. And now people are saying here that Julian Assange is going to be taken. This is, I love the Q people. The Q people, they spend every, the Q people, which basically is a CIA bot, which analyzes all of the data coming across the internet to twist things for Q. Whether it's, now they're not talking about the 100,000 sealed indictments any longer. That's all, that's because that no longer was getting any traction because everybody knows that's a lie. Now they're saying that Julian Assange is coming over here to talk about Seth Rich and the Democratic Party to bring down the entire Democratic Party in the United States. And that's why he was arrested. That's why Trump allowed him to be arrested so that he could come to the United States and testify before Congress. Guys, Hillary Clinton is walking free. Julian Assange is being tortured in a jail in England. I mean, probably having a brain wipe done to him. Probably being completely reprogrammed with MK Ultra. You know, watch the movie the Clockwork Orange. If you could stomach that, I'm never going to get through it. Just don't let your kids watch it. They're going to program him. They're going to change what he believes and what he thinks, or they're going to kill him. But he's never going to testify. Remember Timothy McVeigh? How he was allowed to go out to the reporters, and how he was able to basically tell the story of what happened in Oklahoma City. Oh, you don't remember that? Oh, that's right. You really don't remember that, do you? You know why? Because it never happened. It never happened.
Yep.
Remember Ken LaHaye with Enron? How he was able to go out and talk about the reporters and talk about all the secret stuff that he knew? And how that never happened either. As soon as they found him guilty, he was panicking. He died of a heart attack and was cremated like 3 seconds later, being facetious. 3 hours later, gone, never autopsied. I mean, they don't let these people talk. How about the guy in Columbine? The guy out there in Aurora, Colorado with the shootings. You got to hear him talk, didn't you? Yeah. No, that's why you never heard him either. You never hear any of these people talk except for that idiot David Hogg from down there in Parkland. And he's like Cortez. He's just another mouthpiece that's stupid. And so this is what they do. You don't hear they don't get the microphone. Here's why. They know if they allow these people to get the microphone, they're going to say, hey, I don't know what the heck happened. I was in my apartment sleeping, and I woke up in full body gear leaning against a doggone car with tactical gear and guns in my hands. I don't know where I was or what happened. I just showed up there one day. I have no idea what happened. I didn't remember shooting anybody. I don't even know what happened. Yeah, okay. Well, they wouldn't do that, would they? Of course they would do that. Of course they would do that. These are patsies. They're being used. And they're being used and discarded. They're being used because the deep state wants to have a false flag. And like Austin says, many times false flags are very, very real. People die. But it doesn't matter. They're still orchestrated and put together for the narrative. The narrative is what they want. They want to keep the narrative the same so that you and the folks around the planet and me and Austin, so that we all believe the narrative. The problem is, I don't want to be a pie, like that one little movie Chicken Run said, you know, when, you know, Mel Gibson was still being used in Hollywood. I don't want to be a pie. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want you guys to make me think that I'm going into that factory and I'm going to be happy, happy, and I'm going to be set free when I pop out the other side. I'm a pie. We don't want that. You know, I don't want to be a pie. So that's the problem. They want all of you to be a pie. They want you just to show up at the other end, processed and finished the way they want you to make you look. And guys, I'm not willing to do that. I'm going to resist this mess, this satanic mess, with every strength of my fiber of my body. I'm just not going to play the game with these guys. To me, these guys are absolutely awful. They absolutely are just doing everything they possibly can to destroy everything that God made to be created to be good. And that's what they do, because it's what they've always done. This is the same group that is the fallen angels. This is the same group all the way through. I've tied it together so many times, and it's just, this is the same group of people that always do this. Every single time you find something bad, this group of druids are at the bottom of it. It's who they are. It's what they do. And they run the planet. and they run the planet through secret organizations, have done so for many, 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 many centuries. By the way, the Congo's Ebola outbreak could actually match the devastation of the West Africa epidemic, which killed 11,000 about 5 years ago if the health workers don't get better protection from the militia threat. Now, what does that mean? Listen to this. Chatham House Dr. Osman Dar warned thousands more could die. A total of 931 people have already died. Health workers last week threatened to strike because better safety precautions. And Dr. Dar called on UN Africa Union and British government to do more. Why is this going on? Well, this is very interesting because why it's going on. Because there are people out there saying that these guys are spreading the Ebola and doing testing on the population there to try to increase the death rate of the thing. And these guys are going out and they're being shot and they're being killed, the health workers are, by the local militias and the armed African resistance. They're saying, no, we don't want to have you guys do this stuff anymore. We want you guys to hit the road. Okay? So this, in fact, there are already UN peacekeepers, whatever that means, that's an oxymoron, US peacekeeper, working alongside the Congolese police and military in the area, but Dr. Tar suggested that far more forces may be needed. I mean, this is a problem with the security issues, because these guys really believe, and I believe that they're right, that this is basically a giant scientific beta test to massively weaponize the Ebola. Wow. By the way, about approximately 100,000 people have been given a vaccine, which is shown to be about 97.5% effective. Well, how have they done that? Have they set up double-blind clinical studies in which some people were exposed to Ebola and others weren't? And 97% of the people basically who were exposed to Ebola who got the vaccine didn't die of Ebola? How many people had to die to get these results? Think about what I'm asking you here. Who did the testing on this? How do they know there's a 97? Where are they getting these numbers from? Are they doing double-blind clinical studies intentionally infecting people with Ebola or exposing them to Ebola after they've been vaccinated? This is some weird stuff going on over there, guys. It's some really weird stuff. Another article, totally changed the subject. Pet owners are being warned now that kissing and cuddling their cats and dogs could spread antibiotic-resistant bugs. Saliva and skin-to-skin contact could transmit resistant microbes. Researchers said owners should question the use of antibiotics for pets. And overprescribing by veterinarians is contributing to a rising burden of resistance in these animals. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. Be very careful when you handle cats and cat feces because of a condition of parasite, a cat brain parasite, known as toxoplasmosis, which can be transmitted into human beings. I recommend that cats never come inside, that cats never have litter boxes, that if you have a sandbox outside that your children have a cover for your children, it's because cats like to use sandboxes outside, and that children are not allowed to get near feces of cats. If you handle a cat, make sure the cat is not a feral cat, because there's no telling what else they could have and all kinds of other diseases. But make sure you always wear gloves if possible or wash your hands immediately thereafter. And preferably, if you're going to have a cat, I recommend it being an outside cat that's been neutered or spayed, and that you simply avoid cuddling it and licking it, allowing it to lick you. Just thought I'd mention that. And so that's the one thing that a lot of people do with cats and dogs, but you can look it up and talk. Well, here's what Todd, for you guys who are new listeners, toxoplasmosis is something that is transmitted through cat feces, and it's a parasite, what it is. And it gets into your brain if you ingest it or get near it. Let's say you basically get it on your hands and you eat food and you don't know what's on your hands and you basically touch the food, you prepare the food, you eat the food, it gets into your system, then you get a cat brain parasite. What the parasite's designed to do is to attract mice to the cats. It gets into the mice that eat the cat urine, and then the mice are then by that parasite start to crave the smell of cat urine and cat feces. And so the mice start hanging out where the cats are, and it makes the mice easier to catch. They lose their fear of the cats. Well, human beings can get it too, and you can actually go nuts over it. It's basically a cat brain parasite. So be very, very, very careful when you handle cats. It's so important. By the way, millennials, their health is plummeting after the age of 27. Study finds that the generation has unprecedented rates of diabetes, depression, and digestive disorders. Why is this? Stop now for a second. Diabetes, high fructose corn syrup in almost everything they were given. Depression, lack of specific nutrients and overconsumption of certain compounds such as aspartame, which we talked about earlier. Digestive disorders, the constant eating of GMO foods. There you go. Millennials have higher rates of the 8 of the top 10 most common health conditions by their mid-30s in Generation X. As their health condition continues to decline, millennials stand to cost the American healthcare industry and economy steep sums. The millennials will be the first primary generation that will be buried by its parents. Now, you heard what I said. There'll be a lot of guys who are 20s and 30s and 40s who are dying. Their parents are going to still be alive because of the processed foods and the GMOs, which are unbelievably dangerous. I know there's another article. People think that eating excessive amounts of honey is healthier than sugar, and they risk their health by indulging in it. Now, that's absolutely true. Remember, a lot of honey products are not real honey. Honey in moderation is actually pretty good for you. The one type of honey that you can use for wounds, it's called, Austin will come to you. So tell me if you remember, Austin, what it is. Manuka honey. Thank you, Austin. It can be used for wounds. It basically, it'll help heal things really, really quickly because it has an antibiotic function. But the vast majority of honey that you get in syrups you get in restaurants aren't real honey and they aren't real maple syrup. So be very careful of them. A lot of them have agave syrup in them. They're real bad. Cane and brown sugars, coconut sugars. All these things are always talking about, you know, being better than table sugar. Guys, sugar. Honey's okay in moderation, not a bit of problems with it. But you can also use stevia, which is fine. And you can also use monk fruit, which is fine, which is what we use. You can actually also use real organic honey. Another story. Being a chatterbox and involving your children in constant conversations around them as far as increasing their IQ scores, and being a chatterbox around your child boosts their IQ scores and increases their cognitive skills because it encourages their understanding of language. Children exposed to large amounts of speech are found to be more intelligent, have better nonverbal skills such as reasoning, math, and shape awareness. Research from New York University recorded 107 preschoolers for 16 hours a day. Guys, if you decide you're going to be a parent, be a parent. All right, it's a lot of work. Okay, if you're going to be a grandparent, be a grandparent. Engage your children in constructive conversation. Explain to them how things work to the best of their abilities and their vocabulary skill set. Make sure you, as they get older, you can go into more depth with it. But the reality is that when you train these children how to think when they're young, they're going to think, and they're going to realize that their consequences have actions. You know, the majority of people spend, you know, less than a minute a day talking to their kids. That's not okay. Because the kids stay in daycare all the time, and they're learning their social skills and their belief structures from the people who teach the daycare and the other children in daycare whose parents may or may not believe what you believe. So spend as much time as you possibly can with your kids. Talk with them, walk with them, hold them, kiss them, hug them, boys and girls. Let them know that you love them more than anything else, and teach them who Jesus Christ is. But guys, remember, if you give your children the time that they deserve, they're going to give you that time back when you get older. If you ignore your children, they're going to ignore you. I remember there was an old song, I think it was by Cat Stevens, I think it was called Cats in a Cradle, and it was talking about how these people basically, you know, they never had time for their children, and suddenly when the person gets old, the child never had time for the parents. And so, you know, I'll see you soon, Dad, or whatever the song Cradle went. I'll look it up in a second and read it to you. Take time and spend it with your kids, and make sure you keep them in church at least once or twice a week. Austin, what do you think?
That's excellent info. There's no doubt about it. I mean, because that's the thing that I've continued to try to push the idea of actually parenting now. A lot of our listeners know I have two kids, Hunter's 3, Kendall's 1, and the aspect that I see continuously now, even surprisingly at this young of an age, is parenting through electronics. And it's become something that's so normal now that people don't even think twice about it. It's just, you know, your kids get in the car, they get an iPad. Your kids go out to dinner, they get an iPad. Your kids are at the house, they take your phone to play games on it, whatever it is. And, you know, it may be something benign, like some really simple, basic game. It doesn't really matter, though, because they've done research study after research study showing anything more than an hour and a half to 2 hours of screen use a day has significant detrimental health effects on the child's development skills, their cognitive skills, their speech skills, their emotional skills, their adaptive to situations around them skills, because they get so wrapped up. You got to remember, when you got a 2, 3, 4, 5 year old, the brain is like they live in a fantasy world. They do. They live like in a dream half the time. There's not reality really hasn't set in. They're completely innocent. So when you take them at that age and you allow them to completely engulf into a fantasy world of video games, of games on the iPad, whatever it may be, they don't know much anything different. They get wrapped up into that. Well, the problem is it's not real. There is no realism to it. It's completely and totally fake, and what it teaches them is that they can have whatever they want whenever they want to have it, especially when you see these kids when they have these full-blown conniption fits. Now, I'm not saying your kids can't ever watch a movie with you, or you can't have a movie night and watch The Lion King or some other movie that they want to watch. I don't care. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is using electronics as parents, parenting through electronics. That's what I referred to as earlier, and it's becoming so prevalent now. Just do your, next time you go out somewhere, next time you go out to the mall, or you go out to the movies, or you go out and do something, or you go out to dinner, especially dinner, look around you when you see kids in those areas, and you'll notice there's going to be very, very few kids that are not playing on some type of electronic device while they're at the dinner table with their friends or family. Almost always. And that is systemic all the way as they get older and older and older. Then as they get, you know, they're teenagers, they don't know how to function and not be on the phone all the time. We've all seen them before. I've gone out places before. You go out with you see a group of people or a group of teenagers at the table. There's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids at the table. 90% of them are all on their phones. They're at dinner, at table, should be conversing, should be breaking bread, should be talking about new ideas, new goals, new directions they're wanting to take, new concepts that they're thinking about, new business ideas, or where they want to go on vacation, where they want to go to the beach for spring break, whatever. But they're not. They're sitting there playing on Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever other things they would come up with these days. This is going to be a downfall of this generation. I've said it so many times now, and I'm watching it become a significant problem. Also, too, something that I wanted to address real quick, back to what Dad was talking about a few minutes ago with the Ebola in Africa. I did this article 3 weeks ago. The vaccines that they're using over there have not had any clinical blind studies whatsoever. The vaccine that's being developed by Merck and Bayer in conjunction is a unlicensed vaccine. The trial that they conducted in Guinea near the end of West African Ebola outbreak showed the vaccine all of a sudden was highly effective, 97.5%. As Dad said, where'd they get these numbers? But of course, based on this study, remember, this is an unlicensed vaccine in a different country with a population that doesn't even understand really what's going on. In the African population that's getting caught with Ebola, they don't really understand it. Everybody's getting sick, everybody's dying, some people aren't getting it, some people are getting it. And you're bleeding out through your eyes, your rectum, your nose, your ears. It's debilitating. So all of a sudden they come in and say, hey, we got a shot. Well, you're sticking the arm right here and you're gonna feel better. You're not gonna get it. It's 97% effective. Well, how do we know that? All we know is that's what Merck, the trustworthy Merck, they're up there with GlaxoSmithKline when it comes to vaccine safety precautions. It's a joke. They supposedly have some unlicensed vaccine that's almost 100% effective, and then all of a sudden the World Health Organization comes out after that study. It says the Vaccine Advisory Committee has recommended this vaccine be used as part of an arsenal of tools deployed to quell any outbreaks in the world. What? But then we find out here, however, the report noted that this is an observational study. The gold standard of trials involving randomly assigning some people to receive the vaccine and others to receive a placebo injection and making sure the individuals that are distributing the vaccines don't know which ones they're handing out. As Dad was talking about earlier, in comparing the infection rates in two groups, they came out and said, that's not ethical. The vaccine would be determined to be just as effective, but it would be unethical to offer a placebo injection rather than a vaccine. So we can't have that type of study over here. Really? Okay. Oh, nothing to see here. Merck's building an unlicensed vaccine in a different country, and it all of a sudden has almost 100% effective rate with hemorrhagic fever, but we can't do a double-blind clinical study on it. We're just doing an observational study. Oh, and by the way, the World Health Organization, they said this vaccine's so effective now because of what we told them. They need to have it deployed to every single outbreak in the world now. So, yes, we'll take our $10 billion up front now for the vaccine we're about to manufacture. Thank you. I mean, give me a break, dude. These guys are so steeped in greed. It's a joke. And I mean, now we've seen, I saw an article yesterday. Now the EPA has come out again after multiple lawsuits ruled in favor of defendants that contracted non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from glyphosate. The EPA has now doubled down and said glyphosate is completely safe and we will not pull it off the market. I mean, you can't even make some of this stuff up, guys, when you see the corruption and the collaboration between our alphabet agencies and the pharmaceutical and the biotech and the vaccine industrial complex. It is literally a joke. It's like, I feel like I'm watching something like on a 24 episode or some Law and Order episode where, I mean, you're like, oh, that's a movie. That's fake. That can't be real. No. It's not satire. It's real. After multiple judges have ruled in favor of individuals that have come down with cancer, essentially, from glyphosate, EPA has doubled down now and said, no. You guys are all wrong. You got this all wrong. Glyphosate's safe. Guys, understand, it's safe because we said it's safe. You know, all these clinical research studies that say otherwise, all these courts, all these judges, all these witnesses, all these defendants, all these, no. They're all wrong. We're the EPA. We say what's safe, and we say it's safe. We want it on the market. This is what happens when you allow a tyrannical government to come completely and totally out of control. You have no oversight in the EPA whatsoever. They're pretty much their own governing body. They have no restrictions on what they can and cannot limit. It's essentially their word. It's basically like God's word in the realm of everything as far as regulatory aspects. The EPA says it's okay. Everybody has to say it's okay. Doesn't matter if they have direct research correlating to cancer, liver cancer, kidney cancer, all types of health issues later on in the future. Doesn't matter. No. EPA says it's okay, so it needs to stay on the market. Obviously, Bayer has done some significant lobbying, donations, whatever you want to call it, to make sure the EPA just did this, because we talked about before, Bayer was hemorrhaging cash in their shares last month. I mean, they were going downhill fast since they acquired Monsanto, and this glyphosate Roundup debacle has been plaguing them. I'm sure they already knew the dangers before they acquired Monsanto, but I guess they did not expect it to keep going to this level, so now they have had to lobby and contact the EPA and say, hey, listen, how much money do you need? How many kickbacks do you need? How many Christmas bonuses do you need to make sure the EPA claims glyphosate is completely safe now because we are hemorrhaging so much cash? Obviously, the EPA obviously had a number, clearly. I mean, there's nobody that can be this dumb in the United States government. They're obviously complicit, because the majority of the people, to get into those areas, to get to those top levels, you're not an idiot. I'll be honest with you that right now. You're not an idiot in most cases. You are either severely compromised or incredibly greedy, one or the other or both. But you don't get to these areas because you're a complete and total blithering idiot, unless you're just a sock puppet like Ortez is. But a lot of these people that run these regulatory bodies, they're up there for a reason. They're up there because they've done things. They're up there because they know people. They're up there because they get the job done whenever they have to, regardless of how illegal or unethical the consequences are. They make it happen. And that is exactly what we have seen now in the EPA, Dad, with these guys doubling down and saying that glyphosate is good, it's great, it's grand, it's wonderful, keep eating it, don't worry about it, it's completely safe.
The government is controlled by the same group of people. Gosh, I sound like a broken record sometimes. You think, well, you always say this, well, guys, at least I'm consistent. Look, Callie, I'm telling you the truth all the time, at least I don't change my story. I mean, everything's compromised. Payouts, bribes, you know, promises of big, huge corporate jobs in one of the Rothschild-owned, you know, petrochemical pharmaceutical industries. I mean, you know, you work for me and you do this and you do that. We're going to hire you at $1 million a year. All you have to do is make that's exactly right. If you go back and look at the article that I wrote online, it's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. And it talks about how the law firm of Sidney Austin offered the guy from the Food and Drug Administration a job, and he left the Food and Drug Administration. This is the guy who was prosecuting them against fraudulent claims and fraudulent research on aspartame, as far as G.D. Searley. And then they offered him a job to come to work for this law firm. He let the statute of limitations expire. Oh, surprise, surprise. And the FDA approved the product. I mean, this is some sick stuff. It's some sick stuff. And this is what these guys do. By the way, it was Harry Chapin wrote the song about cats in a cradle. I'm going to read you part of this. My child arrived just the other day, and he came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay, so he learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I'm going to be like you. And he goes on to say, my son turned 10 the other day, and he goes, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? He said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed, and he said, I'm going to be like him someday. I'm going to be like him. And then he goes on to say, well, he came home from college just the other day, and so much like a man, I had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Just sit for me for a while. He shook his head, and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you, if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It sure have been nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he had grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Think about that for a second. Do you want your children to be just like you? You know, sometimes I look back in my life and some of the decisions that were made when I was a child, and I think, wow, I got to do that the same, or I've got to do that differently. I'm always analyzing what happened to me as a child and my life and how it became what it is today, and I really love my life. And I always try to do the best to maybe make a better, allow myself to become a better parent. Years ago, Harrison, my 20-year-old, who just finished his master's degree, starting law school in the fall, he said to me years ago, he's like 10 years old, he goes, Dad, when I'm an adult, I'm going to be a better parent than you. And Austin remembers this, and I smiled, and I looked at him. I said, I hope you are. I said, I hope you make you're a lot better parent than me. I really do. And he looked at me kind of funny. You don't mean that. I'm like, no, I really do mean that. And, of course, now he regrets having said that. Now he doesn't want to talk about that anymore. He goes, I can't believe I said that. But, you know, here's the thing, guys. What kind of parent are you? Are you a parent who says, you know what, I'm not really sure about the aspartame. I'm not really sure about the immunizations. I'm not really sure about the glyphosate. I'm not really sure about giving my kids high fructose corn syrup. So until I'm sure about stuff like that, I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to be that kind of parent. You know, I'm not sure about the food being processed right now and not having any nutrients in it. So I think I'm going to go ahead and just use a really good high-quality supplement and basically make sure my kids get enough vitamins and minerals in their diet, or my grandkids. I'm going to be that kind of parent. You know, I got a lot of kids out here right now that have autism in the classes. I see them running around. It's kind of sad. Maybe I just need to go ahead and get that religious exemption waiver if my state allows it, and just give this thing some time and do some more research and figure out what to do. Years ago, when Austin was 19 years old, he graduated from college with his bachelor's degree at 19. He also completed his master's degree. Austin was going to go into the Marine Corps. And I warned him. I said, I protected you against all the immunizations up to this point, so it's up to you now to make your own decisions. And I said, if I were you, before you signed the papers to enlist in the OCS program, I'd make sure that you were able to negotiate being an officer that you don't want to have these vaccinations, which he did. And they assured him that if he had the paper signed in advance, that they wouldn't give him the shots or whatever, which I don't know if that's true or not, if they would have actually done that. But it's interesting to me that they were actually willing to have that discussion with him. Let your kids make their own decisions. If they decide, like a friend of mine who was a pastor and didn't immunize his child, and as soon as the child went off to, I believe it was a school out there in Oklahoma, he decided to have all 20, 30 shots or whatever at once. If they want to be that person, that's not your responsibility anymore. That's up to you. And now he's having children, and have the same kids having grandchildren for this pastor friend of mine. And now he's immunizing the grandkids. And I sent the kid over 300, almost close to 400 references on vaccinations about being bad. And, you know, and all the other things that can be caused with the aluminum and all the other things they put in them. And then he says, do you have any more information? And I'm like, you just got 400 immunization articles. Do you really want to read more? Have you read the ones I sent you? And then he goes, well, I've also got, you know, a couple hundred articles here that say that the vaccinations are safe. And I said, all of those articles were paid for by the manufacturer of the vaccines. I said, I want you to find me one article that says the vaccines, you know, are safe or that are not safe, that wasn't paid for by the manufacturers. I mean, you're not going to find that. They're always going to find in favor of their own product. They're not going to have let me put it this way. If they do a double-blind clinical research study and they find out their vaccines aren't safe and they paid for it, they're not going to publish the study. You won't hear about it. Why would they do that from a marketing standpoint? Why would they tell you, by the way, this product's going to kill you or kill your children or give them autism, so we're not going to basically tell you about this study? That's what happened when Monsanto sealed all those records and it was released through the Freedom of Information Act And I'd read the article to you a few months ago about what was going on with the vaccinations back in the, not vaccinations, with glyphosate and Roundup back in the 70s and the 80s, causing like a dozen different types of cancer, proven by their own research that they suppressed. They only put the stuff out there they want you to hear. It's just what they do. And you think, well, why do they do that? Well, because they're here for a primary purpose, to support their stockholders, because they have a fiduciary responsibility to basically make profits and pay the stockholders money. It's all about the profit with these big guys. They don't care about what happens in most cases. Not in all cases, but most cases. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Been a great week of shows. Monday and Tuesday were really just off the chain. You guys are awesome. I love you. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We've produced the highest quality supplements in the world as far as I'm concerned. If I could make a better product, I would. I use a doggone drug-registered laboratory in Orlando to manufacture our stuff, because I want to have the highest quality, purity, pure supplements available to you. You guys are absolutely amazing. I had the opportunity and the privilege to pray for you again today, and it means the world to me that you allow me to do that. Guys, I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, also, too, in other news, they had another church fire. Catholic church fire was caught on fire yesterday and burned down the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Sadly enough, it pretty much burned down to the ground. They're saying they do not know the cause of the fire yet, which is ironic, as we've seen so many, if this is an attack, but we have seen, if this is, we have seen so many of these over the last year, 2 years, even in the in the United States, much less in Europe and other places in the world. And it's sad to see these continued assaults are taking place over and over and over again, and very few people want to call that for what it is. Also, too, in other news, the product of the week, if you guys saw that, the one and only, the very popular Ultimate Multiple Powder is on sale for 10% off till next week. It won yesterday, so we put it on sale. This has been one of the most popular products we've ever had. Obviously, we carry three different types of multiples, if you guys have seen that. We have the Ultimate Multiple Chewable, which is a great product, kids, especially for kids. We have the Ultimate Multiple Capsules, which is a very, you know, our staple product we've had for years, which is the one that I take a lot of, and the Ultimate Multiple Powder, which I also take a lot of, too, in my shakes whenever I'm taking it. And so this is great because you're getting a very, very mega dose of the Ultimate Multiple because we don't have to put it in capsule, and you're getting a big can of it that lasts quite some time. So it's equivalent to about two bottles normally of the Ultimate Multiple Capsules, actually a little bit more, but right around there. So really great deal on that, 10%. Off. Check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for the continued support. Keep up the good fight. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.